Okay.
You're listening to Vibes Live Radio with Robin Lee.
Yeah, this is the boy comedian Edwin Douglas, your host, along with Robin Lynn May Bing, hanging out with the Mexican. Come on in, girl.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to today's show.
All right. This is how we're going to do this. And we got two special guests on the Vibe Live Red Carpet exclusive right here. Only a global entertainment broadcast. Do the red carpet thing, Robin. All the way from Dallas, Texas. He's an author. He's a filmmaker. And he's my brother of Cap Alpha Psi Fraternity, Fraternity Incorporated. Please show your love for Victor McLaughlin. Yeah. All right. How you doing, man?
And I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on this show. But check it out. Y'all's intro is so fabulous. I feel like I need my club clothes on.
Slide on in the room.
It's some new shoes, too.
Cool. Now, first of all, I want to say congratulations on your success. You and I go way back. And I remember when you were telling me that you were working on a book after so many couple of decades have gone by. You've written certain amount of books and did much more. Could you tell us the first book that you wrote?
Yeah, Edwin, I do remember that. I remember us, at chapter meetings and hanging out afterwards, and I was telling you that I was going to start working on a book, and that was late 90s. Mm-hmm. So we've been cool for a very long time, and 14 bestsellers later, we still cool. So, I respect that and dig you for always being there every step of the way. My first book was called In Spite Of, and it was written a fictional story about a guy who worked in a bank, and I was in the banking industry, so I know a little about that. And then all of the things that go on behind the scenes with who gets loans and who gets rejected and all of the money that happens outside of the banking institution but is still involved in the community to help things work properly. A lot of folks don't know, back in the late 90s and mid 90s, there was a lot of extra money, or what they called black money, circulating around, because you still had people who had lived in the community 40, 50 years that had never had a banking relationship. Never, they paid off, their grandparents or parents paid off the mortgage, so they didn't even have checking accounts. They paid everything with cash and, cashier's checks, money orders. So when it was the first opportunity to have a checking account, savings account, and actually get a new car loan, this is brand new. This is brand new for thousands of people, and I was a part of that in Dallas. So I wrote a little bit about it, did some parafiction, introduced the Nation of Islam, some black brothers to the story, introduced some FBI, and some drug involvement, and man, the book took off. It did very well, and it started my career.
Wow. Wow. Robin, this brother here, we can be on this interview for 2 hours, because that's how long, how hard work he would have put a lot into it. Yes. And he's very successful, mm-hmm. Doing what he does. Mm-hmm. You have a book that we want to talk about that you just released, Could you share that book with us?
If you're talking about the student formula, how to win in inner city classrooms,
yes.
For the last 6-7 years, I've been a motivational speaker and a corporate trainer. So I write training manuals for eyeglass companies, beverage companies, how to onboard their new employees and help them become more successful, more efficient, more effective right off the street with no experience and no prior knowledge of the industry. So, and after speaking to so many high schools and colleges, it was my old boss who said, you need to do what you do for corporations. You need to do the same thing for kids. Why don't you write a training manual for kids, inner city kids, to be more successful in school? That's exactly what I did. So it's called the student formula. And then also I'll put together a workbook so that moms, dads, community leaders, mentors, you know, Head Start, Boys and Girls Clubs, if they want to help these kids be more successful in the classroom, then they can participate by getting the student formula or the companion workbook, the Champion Mentoring Curriculum.
Wow. Are you connecting yourself, relationship with different school districts for this book or going through the library? How this book and relationship with other educations and educators is connecting with you?
Right. Right now, I decided to go a securities route. So I'm dealing with about 9 mentoring organizations in the Dallas area. And this summer, I'll add a lot to Houston, San Antonio, Austin, and kind of, you know, ingratiate myself into text first. But the book is being used for California, some school districts in California looking at it and trying it out. And New Jersey, about 5 mentoring organizations in New Jersey are picking it up. Because what I didn't realize once I did this was there are a lot of black men who did not graduate from college, went to prison, and when they get out, they can get a GED, but they still don't know how to be successful. They don't know how to be successful in life. They don't know how to be successful at work. And that's one thing that this does. This teaches, my curriculum teaches inner city students and individuals who've been incarcerated how to basically start a business, how to run their education and their life like a business. It's a startup 101 for all of them. Teaches them how to build a mission statement, business plan, how to get a board of trustees from people within their peer group and within their community, and then all of the nuts and bolts of building a business. So my very first business was VictorMcLaughlin.com, and have built that, made well over $1 million doing that. And I want to teach students and people who just came, you know, out of incarceration how to do the same thing. You are your own brand, and teaching them about brand management and all that entails and how you protect your brand. First of all, you protect your brand by not doing anything that can discourage people from participating in your brand. Mm-hmm. So all of the stuff that people put on social media, Facebook, Snapchat, all that, it's like, y'all got to stop that. Because employers, potential business partners, they're looking at that, and they can't take you seriously when you are disrupting or just trashing your own brand.
Wow.
Victor.
Wow.
Victor, I'd like to sign up for class. I'll be sitting right up front. Right up front. I'll bring you apple and everything.
Okay. Yeah, no, we could definitely work through that, because for anyone who's either ever wanted to start a business, wanted to escalate their own personal brand to another level, or to help other individuals, because we all know nephew, niece, cousin who just can't seem to get it together. This book is for them. So I didn't expect it to be for individuals who weren't in high school or junior high school, but these mentoring organizations are saying, hey, we're using this for our men who are right out of prison, these young men, early 20s, late teens, and they're eating this up, because this is something that they say that other communities have shared with their young people growing up. And they're right. And you know, I'm not saying anything about African Americans, but I think if we utilize more of what Jews and Asians, especially when they teach their kids from a very young age, by and large, this is how you run a business. This is how you purport yourself in a business atmosphere, so that when they get out of high school, college, and start their own business or have their first job, they know how to handle themselves. They know what expectations are. They know how to manage responsibilities. And that's why they're more successful right off the bat. And unfortunately, in African American community, by and large, most of us just don't do that. Some of us don't have the wherewithal. Mm-hmm. Our parents didn't teach us how to be successful in business.
Yeah.
And I have 2 young men that, you know, my sons that I've raised, they're both going to be engineers in college next year, engineering students. And this is what I've taught them since they could read. So to them, it's second nature. Yeah, to them it's second nature. And my aunts, I have 2 aunts in education, and they were saying the same thing. Dude, if you could just tell all these other kids what you tell your sons, how to, you know, study habits, how important that is, how to keep a monitoring and measuring system for all the homework and all the classwork that you've done. Because, again, if you're in any game, Robin Lynn and Edwin, if you're in any game, the only way you know you're winning is looking at the score. So I have a process where you write down every homework assignment, class assignment, test grade, on everything that you get. So at any time, you can look at your success scoreboard, and you can know if you're winning or not.
Yeah.
Say, wait a minute, I got a 50, I got a 65. Among all these other good grades, I need to spend more time in that subject. So it teaches not only students but their parents how to help them be more successful. Mm-hmm. I have parents that call me, text me crying, saying my son has been on scholarships, but he's not doing it well in school. What do I do? My daughter is a standout in track and field, but she can't make it to college because she can't pass the test. What do I do? This book tells them how to do it.
Wow.
Now,
Robin, you can tell he's a motivating speaker.
I'm motivated.
You can tell he's an author.
Yes.
Let's talk about how you and when you started getting involved studying film, the first film, and then we'll talk about the film that just came out.
Okay. Believe it or not, I've been writing for 20 years, and I only started writing because I wanted to write movie scripts. But I kept, you know, I'm reading up on it. The internet was still relatively new in the late 90s, 96, 97 when I started writing. You couldn't find a lot of information. People are still going to the libraries to do research. There was no Google. Yahoo was brand new and didn't have a lot of information. So the information that I did find said, if you're not in L.A., if you're not in New York, because Atlanta wasn't even a movie hub then.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not in L.A. and New York, you may as well forget about writing scripts. But what you can do is write a book, and if it does well, maybe someone will pick it up. So I wrote a book, wrote another book, got big book deals, wrote 10, 15 books, and then I couldn't find anybody who wanted to do my films. So I said, okay, let me look online now, and they had these movie cameras that you could buy for $1,500.
Yes.
I bought a $1,500 movie camera. I wrote 6 movie scripts, and I said, I went to L.A., back 4 or 5 times back in the mid-2000s. And every film student or young producer that I met said, it's going to cost you $30,000, $40,000 to do a 15, 20-minute short film. And I was like, what? I said, well, first of all, if I had $30,000, $40,000, I'd be doing it myself. So that's what they said. Dude, you have all these best-selling books. Buy a movie camera, read up on it, see what that camera can do, and then shoot your own short films. And if you're good at it and you like your project, then make it a 90-minute feature. I was like, man, you crazy. I know how to write, but I don't know how to produce. I don't know how to direct. They said, if you've been writing books, you've been directing. You've been directing characters this entire time. All you need to do is do the same thing. Yeah, do this. These are people who just gotten their film, you know, certificates, film degrees from UCLA, from USC. You know, these are the cats who are going to be making big money in L.A. telling me you could do the same thing with a $1,500 movie camera. So I went online, got my tax return, and bought
came up. We coming up.
Yes, I'm telling you. People who, if you want to fund your dreams, you get that tax return. Don't buy no furniture, no new clothes, no new car. You put that money into your business. So I bought me a movie camera, some lights, and I bought 2 books. And I don't even remember the name of them. I think it was some simple stuff. How to write a script that sells. These are the things you need to learn, you know, if you're going to shoot outdoors and working with people. And one of the first things that said, if you cannot pay your cast and crew, feed your cast and crew. So the first time, I didn't pay them. I said, look, you know, I'm going to give you guys videos when we finish. And I think I had to pay the guy who did the editing because it's so intensive. Yeah. But the actors, we did cattle calls. We had about 200 people that came for those. We picked the cast and crew. We shot over a weekend, did a 20-minute film called Backsliders, and it worked. And then we did On the Radio. We did a second one, and it worked. Those I could actually pay. I paid all the actors and fed them well. And so when it was time to do my first 90-minute feature film, everybody who'd worked for me on the first two was like, please, man, you got to put me down. You got to put me down. So I did. I hired almost all of the people that had worked with me before, made sure that I had roles that fit them, and then came out with, it was the first black horror film in the United States since, since the 70s.
Yes.
But it was Texas Voodoo Zombies. So it came out last April. And you can get it Amazon, Redbox, Walmart. And it was a zombie horror, and it was funny, and it was shot right here in Dallas, and it all started because I got a $1,500 camera and wasn't afraid to step out and make it happen.
Okay. Now, yeah. Tell us a little bit about single and separate, because I did both of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
single and separated.
Well, you know, a lot of people go both of those routes, Edwin, so I'm feeling you, man. Yeah, so I said, okay, I want to do TV shows. So I had meetings with some production companies back in L.A. for TV. A couple of networks took a look at, you know, what I had, and they said, you know what, why don't you shoot a pilot, and that way you can shop the pilot around, and you don't have to keep making these trips back and forth to L.A., and now Atlanta. So I said, okay. So I have four shows that I wrote up, that I scripted, and said, which one do I think might have the biggest impact, and one I can shoot, pay all my actors, pay everybody, and still, you know, kind of make a splash. So I did a comedy called Single and Separated, where there's four women who are in the businesses, they have careers, and they just decide, well, two of them are single and two are separated, and they just decide, hey, we, you know, all these people are making money doing reality shows, let's do a show and kind of make up the reality as we go, kind of script it, partially scripted, partially unscripted, and see how it happens. So I shot the pilot in October of 2015, and then rolled it out. We finished editing, and it came out like in April, shopped it. And you know what? There was more companies than I thought were interested. The big Fox looked at it, and I didn't even think Fox would be interested in it. Fox looked at it. They looked at five of my other shows. I haven't sold any of them yet. But every time I get onto another project, more and more TV networks come in and say, hey, we heard about Single and Separated. Let's talk about it. What else do you have? Well, I got these four of the scripts. These are the four show ideas. Can you send us a one page? So it's happening. It's happening slower than I would have liked, but it is happening. So as you can tell, man, I got stuff all over the place, and it's about to hit.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, we like to bring all our guests on the show and share their testimony. If you can, any time in your life, what could you share with us your trials and tribulation to make you the person who you are today?
Oh, absolutely. And thanks for asking. And this is something that I normally forget because this is part of life for me. But when I was a high school, I was a track standout football and got, you know, shoeboxes full of scholarship offers. And I chose one, got to college on a scholarship. My first year, I realized that I couldn't keep up no matter how hard I tried, and then found that I was reading at a sixth grade level. Mm-hmm. Now, I knew I was a poor reader. I hated to read. It was too much effort and energy required, so I didn't do it. Graduated class president, homecoming king, you know, student, all of these accolades. But I didn't have, you know, the reading prowess to keep me where I needed to be. So I almost lost my scholarship and basically had to teach myself how to read within a month over the my freshman year Christmas break, so that I could get back on schedule and you know, make the grades I needed. And, of course, graduated and later got a master's degree, wrote 14 best-selling novels, and now I'm doing film and TV. So my testimony is, when you find out that you are up against a wall, you know, don't quit or complain. Climb that wall. Figure out a way to climb that wall. That's it.
Wow.
And
wow.
You know, and I was a 19-year-old when it happened, but it has fueled me. And sometimes, you know, because when you're a writer, you're doing a lot of stuff by yourself. You're a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. A lot of the primary things you're doing alone before you put your team together. And a lot of those times, I just said, man, I can't do this. You know, this is too hard. What business do I have doing film? What business do I have doing TV shows? And then I just remember myself as a 19-year-old that was reading at a sixth grade level and saying, dude, just keep climbing the wall.
Yeah. Wow, amazing. Vic, I'm going to tell you this. Anytime you need the word to get out around the world, because Vibe Live, we have 2 million geographic listeners around the world following us.
Yes.
Anytime it's your book or your product, anything you got going, this is your new home. We'll get it out there.
Wow.
You know, we have track record, we have proof. You know, we ain't just talking. We moving things. And I know you from back in the day, and following you, I like to use the word achievement, Fine New Pie. Okay. We know, because if we can go through that, and you went through what you shared with us, then yes, you are a true testimony, a proof what God can do. Anyone who step on the red carpet of Vibe Live and share that testimony that they didn't want to read, knew they had some opportunity to make themselves better to learn how to read, this shows the world that God can turn anything around.
Because it wasn't me. Because I didn't know what to do. And you're talking about, you know, brother, young brother was praying on it. I didn't want to go home. I would have gone home a loser, a failure, embarrassed, an embarrassment to my community and my mom, and who was a single parent. And I said, God, you got to help me because I don't know what to do. And I was embarrassed and ashamed. So, thank you all so much, Edwin. You have been there. You've supported me when a lot of other brothers didn't support me. So my hat's off to you. Robin Lynn, thank you so much for helping host me and introduce me to your listeners. This is awesome for me. Thank you all so much.
You're very welcome. Because before we go, anything you got coming up that you need to let the world know what's going on or what's coming up?
No. I want all of your listeners to go to championmentoring.com. championmentoring.com or victormclaughlin.com, and you can check out all of my novels and what I'm trying to do for junior high and high school students and for young people just fresh out of jail who need some help in putting it together.
All right. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, show your love for Victor McLaughlin. All right.
It's
very nice to meet you. Thank you so much for coming on.
All right, y'all did that thing. I'll be smiling all day.
All right, we'll be talking to you soon. Take care.
All right, thank y'all. All
right.
See.
Check it out.
Yeah, I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you?
Yes, I love
him. All right. You enjoy that interview?
I love him. Yes.
Yes. That's a good brother there. That's a good information, wisdom that we all need to hear for our community and anybody who can turn their life around.
Yes.
But let's get ready for our second guest.
Our second guest is not here.
Not here?
No, that's Evangelist Mike Bradford is on the line from Consuming Fire Global Ministries.
Well, okay. I'll tell you one thing. You can go ahead and play a song.
All right.
And we'll be right back with our second guest.
Coming right up, everybody. Just one moment. Come on now. There we go.
How many have been through a trial and you know how it feels? Just to be too tired and shed more tears. You prayed and you fast, I mean you prayed and you fast. You sitting up them ass, gave it all that you had. You just looking for a sign, a glimmer of hope. Something to indicate that the Lord is close. That he heard your voice and he'll deliver you soon. That he will take all your pain and he'll heal your wounds. Sometimes the worst thing, it turns out to be the best thing. And I've learned he knows all things. And all things, they work for my good. And sometimes your worst pain, it turns out to be your blessing. Yup. I've learned he knows all things, and all things, they work for my good. If you believe, then this word's for you, and if you've been through, then you know it's true. What he brings you to, he'll bring you through, and all things, they work for my good. And now, this ain't a pity party, cause we ain't feeling sorry. We gon' confess the promise, can't believe he's done it. How God can
all right.
Fail. He's more than capable.
I want everybody to get ready for our second guest, all the way from South Carolina.
See,
show your love to the red carpet, Shael Eden.
Hey, how you guys
doing? Ken folks, what's up? How you doing?
What's up, fam? I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Good. Say hello to Robin Lynn Maybin.
Hi, Chael.
Hi, Miss Robin. How are you?
I am so excited you're here. I'm like, I love that song for good. That song is a great song. And you're so pretty.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're so pretty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know, first, before we go any further, I want to say congratulations to both of the Carolina, the women, South Carolina Gamecock, winning the women's championship. Also, the Tar Heel of North Carolina winning the men's championship, NAAC Final Four.
Right.
Yes. Yes,
that's
representing.
Right.
Yes.
Yep,
yes.
Yep.
Yes. Let's do this. I know you, but I want the world to know more of you. Tell us, before you really got into becoming a songwriter and a Christian hip-hop artist, share with us what were you doing before you did that?
Okay, well, I mean, I was always doing music, you know, since I was a little girl. Always had a love for music, so I would sing and I would dance. I would sing my own songs, largely influenced by the secular genre of music. And even as I matriculated through high school and went to college, I was actually pursuing music to do it professionally. But at that time, it was mainly just, you know, secular music. I wanted to have a positive message, but not necessarily a Christian message. But I realized that, you know, I needed to have a plan B. So my plan B was to focus on my academics. And like I had a love for music, I also had a love for science. So I majored in biology. And I pursued my degree in science. I wanted to study cell and biology, cancer research, and I got accepted in the program at University of Cincinnati to get my PhD. well, it wasn't long into that program that I realized I didn't really want to do research. I really liked interacting with people, and I wanted to do more of a patient care type of thing. So I didn't stay in that program long. And during the transition of leaving that program and figuring out what I really wanted to do, I pursued my music again, and it just kind of hit a dead end. So I said, you know what, God, maybe that's not what I should be doing. So I decided to pursue medicine. I actually got my degree to practice medicine as a physician assistant. So I did that for a number of years, and then I just felt the call in my life to still do ministry and music. I never really stopped doing it. I just wasn't focusing on it as a career path. I kept saying, well, maybe I won't be an artist. Maybe I'll do a songwriting or produce or things like that. But as life would have it, the conviction to just record and to do it truly in my heart, it came back really strong, and I just couldn't resist it anymore.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. You had an opportunity to go out the country. We're talking about Africa. Could you share that experience with us?
Right. So I had the opportunity to travel to South Africa on two occasions. I'll back up a little bit. So during the transition of leaving the program in Cincinnati and coming home and trying to figure out what I wanted to do, it was kind of like a wilderness period in my life, because I had never been in a place where I didn't have a plan. And at that point in that season, I didn't have a plan. So it was a bit depressing as well, because everybody else was moving on, or the period that they were making moves and had this or that going on in their life. And I felt like I was just kind of stuck trying to figure out what I wanted to do. So I would listen to TBN. And as I was listening to TBN, Joyce Myers was on there, and her broadcast was showing the different ministries that her church did, outreach programs, and they were doing some stuff in Haiti and some other countries. And I remember thinking, I would love to do mission work. And of course, the enemy's busy, so he was like, what would you do? You know, what's your gift? What's your talent? You know, you don't have any degree. At that time, I only had my degree, a bachelor's in science, but I mean, what skill set could I offer in something like that? You know, is what he was saying. And he was like, it's not like you pray out loud, you know, it's not like you're so deep in your word where you could, you know, provide some type of ministry there. So I was a little discouraged, but in my heart, I was like, you know, one day I'm going to do something, you know, in another country, because I desire to do that. Well, God would have it where I got accepted into my program to study to become a physician assistant. And within the first semester there, a gentleman came out to speak to us about opportunities to go out the country to provide medical mission work. And he mentioned several countries, and the one that fit best with my schedule was to go to South Africa. And so me and a few other students, we had the opportunity to travel to South Africa to do medical mission work, and we stayed there for about 2 weeks, and then I went the following year again to do the same thing.
Wow. Robin, you want to ask something? Because, you know, you have ministry yourself. And anything you want to ask her about that?
The missionary. It's in today's time, people don't understand that the missionaries were still here. I'm a missionary myself, and God has given us the greater exploits. You know, the internet, that we can reach people all over the world, opportunities with your schooling, the blessings that he's given you with your gifting and the opportunities in schooling. And so I just encourage you to keep going forth. See, because when God calls us to serve, what he calls us to do is really simple. Just go out and spread God's love and tell people about Christ. It's really simple. You know,
cool. Right? So, I agree. Cool.
So he doesn't say that we have to be a PhD, or he doesn't have any requirements for that. So I just
right.
say, God bless you, and I'll be praying for you, and as you do the work of an evangelist, baby. Go ahead, girl. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Go
Thank
ahead.
You.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your music. As you are as a songwriter, let's talk about how did you come up with the title or the name for the single For Good?
Wow, that's cool. I didn't really come up with it. I don't really come up with a lot of this stuff. It's just, you know, just spending time in God's presence, okay, and just what he ministers to me. I just truly believe that you can't ever give anything that you don't have, whether it's your time, whether it's financial, whether it's encouragement, any type of ministry, until you have it your own self. You can't afford to give it to anybody else. You just don't have it to give. So just, let me back up a little bit. So I was in a situation that, in a season in my life where I was dealing with a heartache. And as I was dealing with the heartache, I just began to cry out to God like never before. And I mean, I literally, in the morning time, I was in prayer. In the afternoon, I would leave work and spend my lunch hour in prayer, seeking God's face. In the evening time, I would be on my knees crying out to God, just seeking his face. I mean, all throughout the day, even as I was seeing patients, in between seeing patients, I was just, you know, praying within my own spirit and listening to sermons in between patients, because I just really had to inundate myself with the word of God, because only through the word of God could I get that healing, that restoration, to be made whole again. So one of the things that the Holy Spirit kept telling me is that, you know, I'll never take away something without giving you something better. And we all know the scripture. If you don't know, it's the scripture that says that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love them and who are called according to his purpose. So I knew that even though the situation was uncomfortable and it seemed like it was the worst thing that could ever happen in my life, what I had known about God is that he was faithful, because when I left Cincinnati and I came home, I didn't have a plan. He worked it all out. I felt like that was the worst thing that could have ever happened in my life. So I knew that he was faithful then. He was faithful when my father died. When I was 5, he helped my mom, you know, be a single parent, raising myself and my sister. So he was faithful in my life then. And I just went throughout my life and I saw, God, you have always been faithful. So he'll be faithful again. And not only do you turn it around, but you have this fantastic way of making it better than anything I could hope for or imagine. So that song just basically came out of my spirit. I was ministering to myself, and the world gets to experience what I was ministering to my own life. So when I say that, how many have been through a trial and you know how it feels to be too tired to shed more tears? I had cried until I couldn't cry anymore. You know what I mean? So I can't do that anymore. You know what I mean? But I know that my God is faithful. I know that he'll turn it around. I know that he'll make a way, because he's never failed. It's just not in his character. He cannot fail.
Wow. Preach, cuz. Preach. 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 Preach.
The creative process always fascinates me. The creative process always.
You want to add something to that?
Yeah, the creative process always fascinates me. So you write the song, you've got the lyrics, and then how do you get the melody? And where do you get the music? How do you add that piece into it?
Well, the song, I have a producer. I have a couple of producers, okay, but I have a producer. His name is Kendrick James, and he supplies the music for me. Okay. But a lot of times I'll write the song first, and then I'll try to find the music to match the song. And then sometimes I'll have the music, and it'll speak to my spirit, and then I'll just write within my spirit. But it always starts back for me. It always starts from the word of God, you know, because I always want anything I do to represent God's word, because that's what's going to change people's life. That's what's going to heal the brokenhearted. That's what's going to restore them. That's what's going to give them life when they feel like it's hopeless and that there's no turnaround, that when they feel like giving up. You know, it's not what I say. It's not how I say it. It's what I say. And if I'm saying God's word, then that's going to do the work.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, preach. Keep on
preaching. Wait till I see you in June. I'll be in Orangeburg. We're going to sit down and we're going to be up all night talking. Yeah,
and there are times, you know, that I love music, so there are times when I want to do something and God will just tell me, you know, no, you know, it's not time yet, you know, just spend more time in my word. And that's sometimes one of the hardest things for me to do, because I write a song, when I don't want to say write a song, but I'm constantly, there's always songs in my mind, you know, there's always something in my spirit. That's how I worship God, through songs. So when I'm praising him, I'm singing songs into him. So that's just natural what I do. So when he tells me, okay, you got to put it down, don't do it, he's telling me because maybe I'm going to speak out of my soul and I'm not going to speak out of my spirit. You know what I mean? Or maybe he has something that he wants to teach me. So when I do sit down and I'm writing what he wants me to write. So
wow.
I've learned to be obedient in that way.
Yeah. That's it. That's it. Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Before we let you go,
I got goosebumps.
you have anything coming up that you want to let the world know? How can they get in contact with you? What do you have coming up?
Well, I don't want to say what I have coming up because a lot of projects in the works. I don't want to speak out of order. But I will say that you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. And I have music that you can find on Apple, Amazon, and all those sorts. I'm with TuneCore. So, but I don't want to say what's coming up. But just know you haven't heard the last of Kyle Eden. It's just the beginning.
Okay.
Could you tell the world? A lot of people look at your name and trying to figure out how to pronounce it. You and I talked about this. We're going to record this name so everybody can get it right.
Yes.
Okay? Because we can, you know, we can turn that first name to Ebony if we want to. You know how black folks are. We do that in a heartbeat.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Say the name.
Okay. So, C-H-A-Y-I-L. It's Kyle. Like Kai Pi Yield, like you yield to the will of God. So Kai Yield, and of course Eden. You guys are familiar with that, Eden.
Is there a meaning behind that?
Of course. So I'll tell you how the Holy Spirit gave me the name. I was fortunate to be in the presence of a pastor by the name of Patricia Francis, Pat Francis. I think she's based out of Canada, Dr. Pat Francis. And she taught on a sermon of the Kyle glory. And in her sermon or her teaching, she spoke about Moses' mom. And she spoke about how Moses' mom exemplified wisdom. She had the favor of God, courage, and she came into wealth. And she became a woman of influence when she decided to hide Moses, you know, and the whole process of still being able to be a part of Moses' life, even though she kept her son when the king ordered that all those sons be killed. So after hearing that teaching, I was really inspired about the Kyle glory. Kyle actually means valor, strength, courage in Hebrew. And then another pastor by the name of Pastor Dr. Ben Winston, he spoke on the Baraka, the blessing. And so the blessing is something that as Christians, we get because we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we become sons of Abraham. Abraham had the blessing on his life, but prior to Abraham, there was Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve were both in the Garden of Eden, and Adam was the god of this world until he fell short and he sinned, and then Satan became the god of this world. But prior to that, Adam had the blessing, the authority that every place the sole of his feet tread upon, he could turn that or transform that property into the same Garden of Eden. He could take the blessing wherever he went. And then when God found Abraham to be a man that he was pleased with, he gave Abraham that same blessing. So Abraham was a wealthy man. Abraham had children a thousand to a thousand generations. To this day, he's called the father of faith. Yeah. So we have that same blessing over our life. It's a matter of us walking into that blessing, claiming and possessing that blessing, and letting it manifest in our life as Christians. So Kyle represents being bold and strong, being courageous in your faith, and Eden represents the blessing that's over our lives as Christians, as believers in Jesus as our Lord and Savior.
Wow. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're live, Vibe Live Bible Study by Kyle Eden. Thank you, cuz. Thank you. We'll be talking. I'm going to tell you the same thing. Anything you need for the world to know, CD, DVD, book, this is your home. Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Ms. Robin.
Yeah, it is so nice to meet you. I'm like going to be your biggest fan from here on out. Please make sure that you get me all of your latest music and events and everything so I can keep bragging on you, okay?
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah.
Love you, cuz. Talk to you soon.
I love you, too. All right, you guys. Have a good day.
Okay, bye. Wow.
Love and happiness.
Wow. Okay. Wow. That is
love and happiness.
Really,
we want to take a little break on love and happiness because I feel love and I'm happy.
Warm and fuzzy up in here.
On the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning, and talking. about somebody.
I just got caught up. Man, you enjoy that, Robin? God, woo!
Okay.
Well, y'all just don't know this brother here. But hey, we're about to run out of time. Uncle Ben, he won't be with us today because he has the flu. But next week, we have our guest, comedian Nikita B. Williams, will be here with us next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll keep you guys posted. My boy, myself, have a show coming up this weekend in Garland, Texas. And Robin Lynn, what you got coming up, baby?
Well, Vibes Live reached 2 million listeners on Sunday.
Yes, I forgot about that. Congratulations to Vibes Live. We reached 2 million geographic listeners around the world. What, in 4 months? This was in April of 2017.
Yes. And it was the second consecutive year that we had, that we grew a million listeners. 2 years in a row.
Yes, that is good.
High five.
I enjoyed myself. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, you can always tune in every day, 24/7 with jazz. We also got DJ Dr. Funkenstein. Yes. We have DJ Momo. And also on Sunday, we have Jazz with Jay. Keep yourself hooked up with VibeLive.com. Until next time, I'm your host, comedian Edwin Douglas, and
Robin Lynn Maben.
You heard me.
Grandpa Kotcher and Yastovo in the studio. That Vibes Live theme song, you feel me? Orale, that's right. I got my pants way high and my hat real low. Turn on your internet. Vibes Live, what you get? Chillin' with Robin Lynn. She's about to make you win. Call you out and bring you in. Chillin' with the Mexican. Orale, Yastovo and Grandpa Gotcha. 273 Records Incorporated. Young Boss, Young Major, you know we made it. Ike Ellis, BK, Robin Lynn sponsoring. Video with Pastor Troy and West Music. Shelly Garrett getting it, cutting at the barbershop. Willie Brown, light-skinned Bobby Brown. Judge Joe Brown, T.Y. Womb on Baby Radio, North Side Radio. Yo. Turn on your internet. Vibes Live, what you get? Chillin' with Robin Lynn. She's about to make you win. Call you out and bring you in. Chillin' with the Mexican. Yastuvo and Grandpa Gotcha. Storm Talk 360.
65 Bonita. Claire Bourne, she's a superwoman. Yeah, 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 yeah. Tina Hobson, Savvy Pro. Savvy Pro. Patrice Jackson, Mass Media. Yeah. And you Maven, know. Robin Lynn, Maven. Woo. Worldwide distribution. Going Zach up. Brown Corporation. That's Girl Outfitters. Club Booty, the bad Brad Berkowitz, Run It Down Production, Caper, Dark Star Records, with that real slick money, Auntie with that gummy, Grandpa Al Cello, Sisters in Motion, turn on your internet, vibes live, what you get, chillin' with Robin Lynn, she's about to make you win, call you out and bring you in, chillin' with the Mexican, and Grandpa gotcha. Turn on your internet. Vibes live, what you get? Chillin' with Robin Lynn. She's about to make you win. Call you out and bring you in. Chillin' with the Mexican. Yastuvo. And Grandpa gotcha. Now that's what I'm talking about right there, you know what I'm saying? We done did that. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Mr. Clean Cut Man done did that. Hey, Yastuvo, you did alright, man. Orale, what's your problem, Holmes? You can't be talking about me like that, eh? It hurts my field dogs, eh? I'll talk to you later, Holmes, on the next one, VibesLive.com.